The thief comes not, except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have and enjoy life, life in abundance until it overflows. Discover how to live the abundant life in Christ through the ministry of Pastor Paul Osayao Afuakwa. Pastor Afuakwa is the founder and general overseer of Embassy of Life Chapel, a thriving ministry headquartered in Kumasi with a network of churches in Kumasi, Accra, and the diaspora. God has commissioned him to train believers through the teaching of the good news of the kingdom to know God better, live life better, and impact the world better. Get set on empowerment that will enable you to live a victorious life in Christ. God bless you as you listen.
Okay, God richly bless you. Come with me to the book. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. Let's read it together, one go. It came to pass as he was praying in what? A certain place. When he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us. Talk to me. Teach us. As John also taught his disciples. So, then Jesus said, he said unto them, when you what? Let's read it together, one go. When you say, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Proverbs 18:15. Everyone with good sense wants to learn. Somebody say, I have good sense. Say, I have good sense. So I want to learn. And I want to learn about prayer at the feet of Christ. Yes, Jesus gave us an invitation. He gave us a lifelong invitation to come and learn. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. Learn of me. And so we are called to learn of Christ. As long as we remain children of God, we are called to learn of Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, he said, be therefore imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. So we are called to learn, to a lifetime of learning. Somebody say, I'm in a lifetime of learning. And the subject of prayer is a very important prayer. I've not met any Christian who is very, very, very serious with his walk with God, who is satisfied with his prayer life. Some people are experts in evangelism. Some people are experts in all kinds of things. But nobody seems to ever become an expert in prayer. Because prayer is a lifelong communication with God. Prayer is a privilege of speaking to God and hearing him speak to you. Prayer is a privilege of fellowshipping with God at a more intimate level. Prayer is a platform that God has ordained so that we can come into agreement with him and fulfill his purpose on the earth. So prayer is a very important thing, and Jesus lived a life of prayer. Not only did he teach prayer, but he lived a life of prayer. And having lived a life of prayer, having fulfilled his ministry through prayer, having ended his ministry through prayer, there is no way you and I, it's our turn now to fulfill our ministry and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. And we can't do that without prayer. Somebody say, I cannot fulfill destiny without prayer. I cannot fulfill my ministry in Christ without prayer. Prayer is foundational for my spiritual life. Prayer is foundational for my ministry. Prayer is important for the fulfillment of my destiny on the earth. Okay, so we started looking at lessons we can glean from the life of prayer. And we are doing this study basically from the life of Christ in the Gospels. The Gospel, it gives us a historical account of what Jesus did when he was born, how he lived his life, how he started his ministry, and how he ended. That for the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four, they give us an account of Jesus' life. So if you want to know anything about Christ, that's where you find it. And the book of Acts gives us a historical account of the church, the infantile church, when the church was born, what they did, how they gave themselves to the teachings that Christ had given to them before he left. So it's important we appreciate these fundamentals, but we are looking at Christ. Somebody say Christ. The Bible says he has left us an example. That's what Peter said, that he has left an example that we should what? Follow in his steps. Follow in his steps. To be a Christian basically means you are committed to following the steps of Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian is not to wear a badge of honor. To be a Christian is not to say, I belong to this church. It's great to belong to this church. But to be a Christian means that you are intentionally, conscientiously, and continuously following the footsteps of Christ. In all you do, in every practical way possible, that is what a Christian is. Are you here with me? And so that is what a Christian is. Jesus lived a life of prayer and he taught us vital lessons from his lips and from his life. Somebody say, from his lips. And from his life. From his life, we saw him pray. In fact, this account where the disciples came to him, asking him to teach them how to pray, was from his life. He lived a life of prayer. He had just ceased praying, and they came to him. They said, listen, some of us were actually with John before. And when we were there with him, he taught us to pray. But you have been doing the prayer thing alone. We want to learn from you. The way you pray, the way you get results is different. We want to be able to communicate with your father like that. And Jesus said that very soon, the one that is my father will become your father. And when he becomes your father, when you are praying, there is a way you ought to pray to him. Are you here with me? At the time Jesus was telling them this, God was not father to them. Because Jesus had not died for the way to be open for everyone to become a child of God. And so this prayer is quite unique in the way it's presented. It's presented to typically Jewish audience. People who are Jewish, who had been raised up. And Jewish people knew how to pray. In fact, it was Jewish custom to pray three times daily. Long before Jesus came, in the book of Psalm 55, verse 17, David was talking. He said, as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord will hear me. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. So Jesus did not come to introduce prayer. He just prayed in a way that is unique. He just prayed in a way that was resource-oriented. He just prayed in a way that was life-transforming. There was something unique about the life of prayer Jesus lived. So the disciples went to him and said, teach us your kind of way of praying. We want to pray like you. We want to have resource like you. So teach us how to pray. That's why they went to him. So it wasn't because they didn't know how to pray at all. No, the Jewish people knew how to pray. They knew how to pray. You remember Daniel in Babylon? Daniel was praying three times daily. So it was Jewish custom to pray. So we started by looking at the fact that Jesus started prayer. How did he start it? He started by teaching them that prayer from his life and his lips. We see that prayer is a priority. Somebody say prayer is a priority. Say prayer is a priority. That's the first lesson we learn about prayer, is a priority. Don't wait until crisis hit before you pray. Some people use prayer as a fire extinguisher. So when there is no fire, they go quiet on God. They are cool. But when there's fire, hey, they can do all night prayer by themselves. That is an abuse of prayer. Prayer is first a privilege to get to know your father. It's a privilege to share intimacy with your father. That's what prayer is. Jesus taught that prayer is a priority. Somebody says it's a priority. From his life in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35, see if he says, very early the next morning, before daylight, Jesus got up and went out to a place where he could be alone and pray. Very early. That was the first thing he did. And then the second lesson we learned about prayer is that prayer must be planned. Somebody say, prayer must be planned. Yeah. You have to have a plan for prayer. If you don't have a plan for prayer, you will not pray. The thing about life is that anyone who lives his life without a plan is playing in life. And anybody who lives his life without a plan can't achieve much in life. If you want to achieve much, whether it's in your academics, in your finances, in your marriage, you need to intentionally be a planner. The Bible says, a man's heart devises where a wise man plans his life. Without a plan, you can't do much in life. If you go to market at the end of a month and you have your salary in your pocket and you don't have what we call a financial plan or a budget, that money will be lost, will be wasted completely. So you need a financial plan. And some of us must learn to budget. Are you here with me? Yeah, some of us must learn to budget. If at the end of a year, you look at your hands and so much entered your hands and you cannot count fruitfully and impactfully for it, then you are a waster. And if you are a waster and you enter every year, God is not entitled to give more to a waster. Are you here with me? God gives resources to people who put them into profitable use. When he even did a miracle. Miracle is supposed to be a divine act of God. Very little input from human beings. When God did that miracle and finished, people felt, oh, this one we didn't labor to get it. Let's just say, waste it. Jesus told them, I'm not going to be repeating miracles anyhow. I will do miracle when there's a necessity for it. And so you gather up the fragment. Don't waste it. And this year, if you will learn to cut waste, Africans typically are very wasteful people. And if you learn to manage waste, you will see that you have a lot of resources in your hand. Your money is not too small as you think. If you will learn to plan and be strategic in how you manage the funds, you will see that God has blessed you so much. Can somebody say an amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we looked at the fact that prayer has to be planned. And that's basically what we started talking about last week. Prayer has to be planned. In other words, prayer must follow a certain schedule. There must be a schedule for prayer. You must have it. Jesus had it. Jesus had it. Your work is a schedule. You go to work from 8 a.m. and then you close around 4 or 5. Some close 5, some close 4. Now, that is a schedule you must keep. If you are not going for any reason, you better have some tangible reason for your bosses. Or it follows the first pattern, the second pattern, you'll be given queries. So it's a schedule you must keep. And some of us are very, very committed to those schedules. The same way, prayer is also a schedule with God, a divine appointment you must keep. And I told you last week that there are two kinds of prayer schedules every serious Christian must have. One is a daily prayer schedule. Somebody say daily prayer schedule. According to the prayer they call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, he was talking about praying as a daily pattern of your life, a daily practice. And then we also talked about specialized prayer schedule. Somebody say specialized prayer schedule. I'm not going to belabor that point, but last week, if you are not here, I encourage that you go to the podcast, get that message, and listen to it. We looked at almost 10 practical ways to establish and maintain a daily prayer schedule. And I tell you, if you'll be able to maintain a daily prayer schedule, if you plan and you are able to consistently follow a daily prayer schedule for 21 days, your life will change in a very meaningful way. Your life will change in a very meaningful way. Many things will change. Those negative emotions that you harbor, they will change. Those personality challenges you have, they will change. Because as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory. The more you behold God. When Moses came face to face with God, he stayed with God 40 days. And when he came down from the mountain, he had changed. Jesus went to a mountain to pray and he was transfigured. I see you change in prayer. I said, I see you change in prayer. So prayer brings transformation. In fact, the greatest change prayer actually brings is to you, the one praying. When you pray, prayer changes you. It changes you from a revengeful person to a very loving person. It changes you from a person who harbors a pain and unforgiveness to become a person who is full of love and forgiveness. Prayer changes you. It helps you to see possibilities. When you are full of impossibilities, you see that your world is coming to an end. Prayer makes you see that your destiny is bigger than your present challenges. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? Now, prayer brings you to a place where you begin to see that there's so much potential in you than you can ever imagine. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. It's only in prayer you'll be able to see the things God can do. The Bible said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Okay, so we looked at about 10 different things. Establish a workable definite time at dawn or in the morning. Somebody say, establish a definite workable time at dawn or in the morning. And then we said, find a prayer closet. Find a place where you can be alone to pray. Find a place. Find it. Pastor, how do I find it? Find it. Find it like you were hungry and you were looking for food. You'll find it. Find a place in your home, in your school, in your hostel. Find a place. Go stand somewhere and have a private talk with God. And we said, if it's going to be effective, do it daily. And then we said, avoid all forms of distractions. Put your phone away. Put it on flight mode. Keep it away. If you are talking to God, you want to communicate seriousness and dedication and focus on Him. And then we said, create a conducive atmosphere for intimate fellowship by singing and playing God-focused or God-hungry songs. And then number six, we said, have a prayer list. Very important. And that's what basically I'm going to be sharing with you from tonight into next week. And then remain sensitive to the voice of the Spirit as you go through the day. And then we said, note and write whatever the Spirit of God communicates to your spirit. And then we said, refuse to give in to guilt or condemnation if you ever miss a schedule. Once you start a schedule, if you miss it, the tendency is to begin to feel bad. Uh-huh. And once you allow guilt and condemnation to come in, you cannot excel at anything. Nobody succeeds with guilt. Nobody succeeds with condemnation. So the first thing God gives you, the first gift God gives to people who are in Christ, He gives them the gift of no condemnation. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not because they've not done anything. They've done so many bad things. But Christ gives them the gift of no condemnation so that they can come boldly to Him and tell Him what wrongs they may have done so they can receive from Him what they ought to receive. Are you here tonight? Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. He says, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Take note, one of his disciples. Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So in the book of Luke, we see Jesus' teaching as a response to a question asked. When we come to Matthew, the same thing is there, but it doesn't come across as such. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. Yeah. I think we would do ourselves good if we start from, Matthew 6. In this manner, somebody say, in this manner. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on it as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Now, this is a prayer we are all familiar with. We learned it rotely in school, right? So it's something that we memorize and all of that. So we can repeat it off the cuff. And it's great to be able to keep it like that. I mean, when you were in primary school, like I was, we will recite it every day as a way of praying. But as we get into the context of it, you will see that one of the greatest wrongs we have done against this prayer is to pray it the same way Jesus said we should not do it. In fact, they call it the Lord's Prayer, but this is actually not the Lord's Prayer. Amen? Yeah, it's a name. It's a coinage they've given it. The Lord's Prayer, that is the prayer Jesus himself prayed. Can be found in John 17. When you say the Lord's Prayer, it's like the prayer Jesus was praying. But this is not a prayer Jesus was praying. This was a pattern Jesus used to pray after. And that is what he gave us. So if you look at it, he said, after this manner, pray. Somebody say, after this manner. And when you are told to pray after a particular manner, he didn't say, pray this prayer. He said, after this manner, pray. Are you here with me? Yeah, that's it. So, and when he says, after this manner, he's talking about a model. A model, and it's something that is supposed to be used as an example to follow and imitate. According to the Oxford Dictionary, a model is a thing used as an example to follow or imitate. So, I'm looking at Jesus' model for daily prayer. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray. Now, let's look at the Passion Translation. We can start from verse 5. Now, look at this. Before Jesus got here, or let's do the New King James first, and then we'll come back here and walk through it. Yeah, the New King James. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Now follow closely. When you pray, do not be like what? The hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen by. Amen. They may be seen by. Assuredly, I said to you, they have their. Reward. They have their. Reward. Okay, verse 6. Let's go together. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Please take note of the time word there when you pray. Now let's go to verse 7. He said, when you pray, now you can almost count about four or so of whens from verse 5. When you what? Pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Vain repetitions. So when we say, our Father which art in heaven, our Father, every that is vain repetition. That's what Jesus said, you shouldn't do. And yet when he finished and gave us a pattern, that became the thing he said we shouldn't do. That's what we've been doing. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need before. Okay, verse 9, let's go. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed. Now let's go to the TPT from verse 5. He says, whenever you be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in the meeting. Believe me, they have already received their reward. Verse 6, now wait. It means that when we pray, there are rewards that comes with it. When we pray right, there are rewards that come with it. Now, it says, verse 6, let's go. But whenever you pray, go into your and be alone, praying to him in secret, and your Father who sees will reward you openly. Now, let's move on. When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like the Gentiles do, for they expect God to hear them because of their many words. Verse number 8. There is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows. Now, Jesus had an interesting way of teaching sometimes. Most of the times, before he gets into the substance of his teaching, he will put out a lot of disclaimers. So that's what he was doing. So first of all, before he comes to teaching you how to pray, he tells you how not to pray. So that's what he does. And from verse 5 to 7 or 8, we see three ways Jesus' model of prayer teaches us to pray. Three ways. I call this prayer the disciples' prayer. Somebody say the disciples' prayer. This is not Jesus' prayer. It's a disciples' prayer. Why? Because the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. And he began to teach the disciples how to pray. So it is not Christ's prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. And you are a disciple. You know who a disciple is? A disciple is a learner. One of the simplest ways people define discipleship is a follower. A follower is quite a hollow word for discipleship. A disciple is a learner. An intentional, deliberate, committed learner. That's a disciple. All right. Now, from his model, we see that prayer has to be regular. Somebody say regular. Regular. Yeah, he said, whenever you pray. He didn't say, if you feel like praying, whenever you pray. He says, whenever you pray. And you see that repeated again and again. Whenever you pray. Whenever you pray. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus also talks about men ought to pray and not to cease. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The Bible said we should pray without ceasing. So it's very consistent with the life of Jesus, with the teachings of Jesus, and with the teachings of even the apostles. Paul said that we should continue in prayer. In the book of Acts, they said we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So prayer is supposed to be a regular, habitual affair. Somebody say prayer.
Prayer.
It's supposed to be regular, consistent, habitual affair. I tell people all the time, and I've told you time and again, it's better you pray 10 minutes, even 5 minutes every day, than pray 1 hour a week or 7 hours a month, and you don't pray again. That's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is designed to be a daily affair. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Whenever you pray, and then he also says, give us this day our daily bread. So he didn't say, give us our monthly bread. It's like, you know, when the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, God could have given them manna one time. I mean, they wore one cloth, it never changed. According to the book of Psalms, the Bible said their cloth never changed. One cloth, it didn't change. Their shoes never changed. And so he could have given them one diet. And he gave them one diet, actually. He didn't change it. But that diet came to them every day. Why? Because it was a call for them to depend on him every day. Prayer is a call for you to learn to depend on God every day. That's why a wise man said that a day without prayer is a boast against God. A day without prayer is a boast against God. You are simply saying, today I'm cool. I'm okay. I'm sorted. It's payday. I've been paid. I have a lot of money on me. And I'm cool. There's no problem whatsoever. The family is in shape. My wife is very much on course. My husband is very much compliant. There is no challenge whatsoever. That's not the purpose of prayer. Are you here with me? That's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is designed to be a daily affair. So Jesus says, pray regularly. Whenever you pray, from this model, we see prayer must be regularly or habitually. Somebody say habitually. Number two, Jesus also teaches that prayer must be sincere. Somebody say sincere. Yeah, Jesus talks about sincerity in prayer. When you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, TPT says, Matthew 5, verse 6, whenever you pray, be sincere, not like the pretenders. When he says, don't be like a hypocrite, in other words, be sincere. Don't come to God and act like you can make it when you know you are breaking down. Don't come to God and act strong when you feel depressed inside you. The honesty and the openness you see David pray with is very interesting. He comes to God and says, help, for the righteous man faileth. I am almost gone. He said, why are thou cast down, O my soul? Why are thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. When David was down, he told God he was down. You see, if you can lie to anybody, don't lie to God. Your most authentic, reliable helper is God. So when you come to him and you act strong, when you feel weak, that's why I have a difficulty with people who can strongly argue that you can't talk to God about your feelings. Yes, you can talk to God about your feelings. He's able to communicate to you at that level. Are you with me here? Yeah. Jesus prayed with strong cries. He felt. Nobody can cry without feelings. You have to be moved by something to cry. Jesus cried with feelings. So, be sincere. Somebody say, be sincere. Yeah, be sincere. In fact, one of the long-standing teachings in church is that when we come to God to express exactly how we feel to God, it's an expression of lack of faith. No, it's actually an expression that you know that God is your one and only source. It's not a lack of faith. It's not a lack of faith. Lord, the way this job thing is going, I feel like quitting. And I need your help. That's what the Bible says. It says, let therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help. So you don't come to God and act like you are cool. In fact, one of the things God hates most are people who come to act like they are cool. Because he knows that you are not cool. He knows that you are dying inside. He knows that you are overwhelmed. He knows that if you had your way, you will kill your wife and look for somebody else to marry. God knows that. Am I communicating here? God knows that. And so when you tell him and you speak to him like that, you position yourself in a place where he begins to help you in the most appropriate way. Are you here with me? Yes, be sincere. He says, don't be like a hypocrite. You know, two guys came to pray and one came to pretend to God what he was not. He said, I'm not an extortioner. I don't cheat. I don't do anything. And he gave all his credentials. God says, I know you. You have not extorted before, but in the next 3 days, you'll be extorting. Because he knows our thoughts from afar. God knows what you do tomorrow. The Bible says if you are to mark iniquity, who can stand? Nobody. Today you are standing stronger, you feel you are cool. Tomorrow you can mess up big time. And God knows all of that. So all of us must come, the strong, the weak must come to God with humility. That's why it's humble people who pray. Arrogant people can pray. In the book of Psalms 10, verse 3, he said, in the proud of his countenance, he will not, God is not in his thought at all. So all these people who are praying, what is wrong with you? Now, there's nothing wrong with us. You need God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We need God. Can you see that? Yeah, 10:4. Good. Thank you. The wicked, through the proud of his countenance, will not seek after God. He's proud. He's full of himself. He doesn't need God. What do I need to go to church for? What do I need to pray? What is it that you are crying about? What is it that you need? I heard the story of one man who told his son. He says, come. How old are you? What is the problem? What problem do you have that every day you are praying? You see? When you have not been taught well, your natural setting thinks that you pray because you need something. You have a problem. But you actually have to pray so you have less problems. You actually have to pray so that when problems comes, you are able to deal with it. Because as for problem, you will have it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. If you don't have it now, keep growing. But when you grow, you will have problems. Jesus said, as long as you remain in this world, you have problems. God never promised us a problem-free Christian life. Christianity is for overcomers, those who overcome. Are you here with me? Yeah. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes. He said, we are more than conquerors. You conquer without nothing. You go through something to conquer. If God be for us, who can be against us? It means some things are coming against you. That's Christianity. That's a real Christianity. So, we need to go after God. Sincere. Somebody say sincere.
Sincere.
Say, don't be like the hypocrites. Why? Because they are not sincere. They say what they don't mean, and they mean what they don't say. That is what hypocrites are. And he says, don't just pray regularly and sincerely, but pray thoughtfully. Somebody say thoughtfully. Do you know your mind needs to be involved in prayer? Your mind is very much important in prayer. Your mind must be engaged in prayer. Your mind must be engaged in prayer. And in fact, the more rested your mind is, the more resource you are likely to get in prayer. The more effective you are likely to be in prayer. When your mind is in a position of worry, anxiety, it's not good for prayer. That's why when people tell you things and you are afraid, at that time, don't go into prayer. That is the time you want to take time and deal with the fear first and then come into prayer. Because we don't come into prayer with fear. We come to prayer with faith and understanding of who God is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul was speaking to the Philippian church and he's going to instruct them about prayer. But the first thing he tells them, be anxious for nothing. Before you pray, make sure you deal with anxiety. Because anxiety has a way of putting you in a position where you cannot even discern what the will of God is. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. So you need to deal with that. It's a very important. The Bible says that do not use. This is what he says, verse 7, TPT. When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases. Praying like the Gentiles do. Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. Amplify classics. This is what he says. When you pray, do not heap up phrases, multiply words, repeating the same words over and over as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their much speaking. So pray thoughtfully. Somebody say thoughtfully. Say pray thoughtfully. Yeah, pray thoughtfully. God is as much interested in what you are thinking as he's interested in what you are asking. Most of the time, our asking and our thoughts are not in agreement, and it can affect your ability to receive something from God. You are praying about something, but you don't even think that God can do it. You don't think that God can do it. You are praying. You are crying night and day. Give us the nations, but you don't really believe that. I mean, taking Kumasi to cry is a challenge. How can you get the nations? Getting a job locally, is it getting a visa abroad? You simply cannot believe it. So you need to. Whatsoever, as a man thinketh in his heart, so what? Is he? Of course, that has its place. When you are praying in the spirit, to your mind is not necessary. Are you with me? When you are praying in the spirit, your mind is not necessary at all. The Bible says if a man prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays, his understanding is unfruitful. So when you are not praying in the spirit, your understanding is very important. Understand the God you are talking to. Understand the subject you are dealing with. Understand the will of God as far as the subject is concerned. But when you are praying in the spirit, that one, forget it. Your mind is not necessary. Oh, I don't, how can I be blabbing stuff and I don't understand all of this? Am I a blabber or what? No. You are not a blabber. You are actually speaking mysteries unto God. Bible says, no man understands him, including the one speaking. How be it in the spirit? Woo! In the spirit, he speaks mysteries to God. Speak some mysteries to God. Kalibro koshadabaha. Speak some mysteries to God. Speak mysteries to God. Kadibo koshanda davali brahado zevele. Brandevo koshada da bahala sabrada. E kalo brade varuze. Brande vareba zabrado kotase. In Jesus' precious name. So that is it. Jesus teaches us those three things about prayer from the model. Now there are six elements in a dynamic prayer life. We are just using the model of Jesus. Six elements for a dynamic daily prayer life. Somebody say dynamic daily prayer life. Say dynamic daily prayer life. Okay, so the Lord's Prayer can be divided into about six portions. Six portions. In it, we have praise. Somebody say praise. In it we have priorities. Somebody say priorities. In it we have provision. Somebody say provision. And in it we receive pardon. Say pardon. And then in it we receive protection. Somebody say protection. And then we also give him praise again. That is what we see in the Lord's Prayer. So that's it. Those six key things. And these six things can also be divided into two main things. If you look at the Lord's Prayer closely, you reflect on it deeply, you realize that it can be divided into two main things. Somebody say two main things. What other two main things can you think about? You can think about, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's two. Love God and love man. You come to the Ten Commandments, it's the same thing. The first four are relationship with God. The last six are our relationship with man. And then when you come into this prayer, you see that the first three has to do with our relationship with God. And the last three has to do with our relationship with people. So there's a vertical dimension of the prayer, and then there's a horizontal dimension of prayer. That's why you see anybody who has genuine fellowship with God and knows God well, his relationship with others are always good. One of the proofs that you are a genuine Christian is how you get along with people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. If you can't get along with people, you need to pray for the help of God. Because it's not Christian. A Christian is not supposed to be a troublemaker, chaos, confusion bringer. No. A Christian is supposed to be a very harmonious person. That's who a Christian is. When you introduce a Christian in an environment where there's trouble and chaos, he brings peace. He doesn't sow seeds of discord. He doesn't scatter and separate relationships. No. Christians are very, very loyal. John was very emphatic when he says, when a man says he knows God but he hates his brother, he's a liar. Simple. I mean, it's just simple, straightforward. He said, if you say you love God, whom you can see, but hate your brother, whom you see, you are lying. If you say you love God and you can't have compassion on your fellow brother, forget it, you are lying. So it's as simple as that. How do I know I'm growing? How do I know I'm developing in the nature and the character of Christ? How much of Christ's influence that is able to flow out of me into others is what is a proof of my maturity. You know the Church of Corinth, Paul talked about their immaturity, and their immaturity was revealed by their divisive behavior. There's no church that was as divisive. There was no church that was cantankerous. There was no church that was full of confusion like the Church of Corinth. And yet, it was the most, most gifted church. One of the things that has scattered a lot of churches is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. The Church of Pentecost used to have a certain man of God, very, very anointed. Many years ago, very anointed. Very anointed. Healing miracles, strange miracles were happening. The gift entered him. He left and went to start his own church. He died not too long afterwards. And this church, I don't think it even exists. I don't know the name of the church even. But I know his name so well. But that's not my, listen, I don't mention him on my altar. Amen. Yeah, so you have to understand that when you are gifted spiritually, because most of the time, spiritual gifts make people puff up. I can do this. I can prophesy. They begin to feel that they know it all. Yeah, kokoti. They can't bring themselves. They are gifted. Whether it's in music, they are gifted in teaching, they are gifted in leadership, and it enters their head so they are not able to work with others. Everybody must bow. Everybody must say yes to them. It doesn't work like that. Are you here with me? It doesn't work like that. That's why the more gifted you are, the more you have to be very careful to humble yourself. The thing that brought Satan down was his gift. Nobody was as gifted. No angel was as gifted as he was. Then thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. One of the people that sometimes are very difficult to control and to have under submission are very gifted people in church. Very gifted people. They feel that they know. They feel that they have arrived. They are not willing to learn. They can't be instructed. And at the end of the day, they are not able to maximize their destinies. They end up as nobodies. They become a pale shadow of themselves. Are you here with me? So it's very important. We are talking about those two aspects. So there are two aspects of the prayer. Somebody say two aspects of the prayer. There is a God-focused part, and there is a man-directed part. There's a part that is directed towards man. For instance, he says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's God. "Thy kingdom come," not your kingdom come. "Thy will be done." Those things all relate to him. Are you here with me? And then when you come down, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's it. And then he crowns it up by returning the glory and the praise to him. So there is the horizontal side and there is a vertical side. And it's also interesting that when he was talking about it, he did not say, "Lead me not into temptation," but "Lead us not into temptation." That's why mature Christians don't pray for me. Mature Christians pray for others. Are you here with me? Yeah. When your prayer is always filled with yourself, myself, my family, and I, it is not bad, but it's a sign you're a baby. Are you here with me? Yeah. When I was a child, I want you to note, everything is I. Children, they are filled with eyes. That's all. I. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. So, the more you grow in the spirit, the less of I, it becomes more of God. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Those two dimensions. It's very important to understand that very well. There's a God focus. The first part has to do with God's glory. Somebody say God's glory. The second part has to do with man's good. Man's good. Lead us not into temptation. Give us this day our daily bread. But the first dimension is focus on God's prayer. Now listen, it shows that prayer does not start with you. It starts with God. That's why if you are going to get results in prayer, you need to learn how to focus that prayer. You don't start prayer by saying, "Lord, give me my visa." It's long overdue, you know. The last time I checked, he said, "Your heavenly Father knows the things you need before you ask them." So concerning your own things, he knows already. But he wants to see how much you can come into alignment with his kingdom demands and with his will, which is paramount. If you are able to come into alignment with his kingdom demand and will, you may not even have to ask. He will give it to you. Because in the context of the test, later on, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you." So sometimes we pray a certain prayer that delivers us or prevents us from praying other prayers. There are prayers you can pray, and then you won't have to pray other kinds of prayers. Did you get that?
Yes,
last Sunday, I showed you that. When Solomon went to pray, God told him to ask for something. He decided that was not necessary. He didn't ask for that. And yet, when he was done, what he didn't ask for was given to him. What he asked for was given to him. In fact, what he didn't ask for was given to him in a greater measure than he could have asked for. Say you could have asked for yourself riches, wealth, and honor. But he didn't ask for any of these things or the life of your enemies. But you ask for wisdom. That is the same thing as seek ye first the kingdom of God. Say, "Hallowed be thy name, that kingdom come." We are going to continue from here as we begin to look at the God-focused part. That's what we are going to be looking at next week. We'll continue with God-focused part. That is how we align ourselves with God's perfect plan and purpose. Have you been blessed tonight? All right, put your hands together for the Lord. Say, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of prayer is at work in me. The Holy Spirit in me is a spirit of prayer. He energizes me unto prayer. He quickens me unto prayer. He strengthens me in prayer. He aligns my will with the will of the Father in prayer. He edifies me in prayer. And so I'm not weak in prayer. I'm strong in prayer. I pray in line with God's will. I pray in line with God's purpose. I have energy for prayer. I have zeal for prayer. I am disciplined in prayer. And I'm committed to prayer. Open your mouth. I'm going to speak to God for a moment.
My life.
Thank you for listening to this life-changing message by Pastor Afuakwa. Share your testimonies with us on 020-422-5790 or email us at embassyoflifechapeloffice@gmail.com. Get interactive with Pastor Afuakwa on Facebook, Instagram, and X. For more information, visit our website at www.embassyoflife.org. Fellowship with us this and every Sunday for our Good News service at our headquarter church, for our first service, which is from 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., or our second service, which is from 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., and on Wednesdays for our Discovery service, which is from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our church auditorium is located on the top floor of Nanama Ejakoma Plaza, opposite the Unity Oil Station, Santasi Runabout, Kumasi, Ghana. Alternatively, you can join us online for our services on Embassy of Life Chapel Facebook or YouTube pages. God richly bless you.